It's 5:20, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Friday, July 17th, on 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, researchers build predictive models for so-called rusting rivers in Alaska. But first, Kenai Peninsula lawmakers joined other Alaska House Republicans to kill the latest version of a tax break bill for the Alaska LNG project. The bill that lawmakers considered Thursday was the culmination of weeks of work by a group convened after the House and Senate failed to agree on a version of the bill. Soldotna Republican Representative Justin Ruffridge was one of the conference committee's six members. He voted against moving the bill out of committee, and then again against passing it on the House floor. He says state lawmakers should take more time and way more input before passing the bill.
This has been billed as the bill that either makes a pipeline be built or does not make a pipeline be built, and that just really is not true. This is one step in a very lengthy process, and I want to say, from my perspective, there's a lot of issues within this conference committee document.
Bethel Democrat Lyman Hoffman co-chaired the conference committee. He says the latest iteration of the bill represents extensive work and the best possible product given the legislature's time constraints. Those constraints include the special session, which was scheduled to end Sunday, and a looming shakeup of seats after this year's elections.
I've worked on numerous pieces of legislation in the past for gas lines, and there always has been high expectations. But I will say that I believe that this particular opportunity that we have before us is the best opportunity that I've seen in many, many years. So I'm here to support this particular piece of legislation, with the understanding that additional work has to be made.
As currently proposed, the Alaska LNG project would take gas from the North Slope, treat it to remove carbon, and then move it to South Central through a roughly 800-mile pipeline. The second phase of the project involves liquefying and exporting the gas from a terminal in Nikiski to buyers overseas. Talk of how and whether to make the Alaska LNG project more economical for Glenfarne Group dominated debate throughout the most recent legislative session. Glenfarne is the out-of-state would-be developer that assumed majority ownership of the project from Alaska last year. The company has not actually committed to building the gas line yet, but company executives say tax relief from Alaska would improve their chances of getting financing for the $50 billion-plus project. Governor Mike Dunleavy called lawmakers back for a special session, then a second, and now a third, after they failed to pass a tax break bill he and Glenfarne supported. The big hang-up is whether to pass a new corporate income tax alongside a gas line tax break. The so-called S-Corp tax would subject oil and gas companies not publicly traded on the stock market to Alaska's corporate income tax law. Currently, the largest company affected would be oil and gas producer Hillcorp, and it would have applied to Glenfarne too. But the version of the bill advanced by the compromise group Thursday would have carved out an exception for the Alaska LNG project at Glenfarne's request. The bill passed in the Senate by a vote of 11-8. Nikiski Republican Senator Jesse Bjorkman was absent and said on social media he had a prior commercial fishing commitment. If he had been in Juneau, Bjorkman said he would have voted against the conference committee bill, which he says was rushed to a vote without adequate input on the changes. Bjorkman wrote, quote, "Good legislation requires transparency, careful analysis, and informed debate, not last-minute surprises." By the time the House gaveled in Thursday, Dunleavy had already called another special session. Lawmakers still took up the bill and killed it on a 19-19 vote. Homer Republican Representative Sarah Vance does not support the S-Corp tax proposal. She says collecting more taxes from oil and gas producers punishes them at a time when South Central Alaska needs their efforts most.
I want to incentivize their production for Alaskans' energy rather than disincentivize them. And I have concerns about the message that this sends across the nation for business and economic opportunities to Alaska.
Vance, Ruffridge, Bjorkman, and Representative Bill Elam, who represents the Northern Kenai Peninsula, are all vocal supporters of the Alaska LNG project and have helped rally support for the gas line at events on the Kenai Peninsula. Glenfarne has also flown in potential buyers and investors to scope out the project area in Nikiski. Lawmakers' fourth special session kicks off July 27th. And finally, rivers across Alaska's Arctic are turning orange and acidic as permafrost thaws, threatening a subsistence resource thousands of people rely on. Now researchers say they've built a model that could predict where it will happen next. KOTZ's Desiree Hagen reports.
Patrick Sullivan directs the Environmental and Natural Resources Institute at the University of Alaska Anchorage. He's been studying the Arctic for decades, including Northwest Alaska's most remote, untouched areas, by snow machine, pack raft, and on foot, too.
Our packs tend to be like close to 45 pounds after you account for the pack raft and then our tents and sleeping bags and our food for a week. And then on top of that, we're carrying sampling kits.
His boots-on-the-ground research focuses on the complex ways the Arctic is changing rapidly, from how snowpack affects the northern migration of the tree line to an emerging phenomenon scientists call rusting rivers. Once clear mountain streams now release highly acidic and metal-laden water, which pose a direct threat to fish and vegetation. It's happening in Alaska throughout the Brooks Range, but scientists have documented it in cold climate areas around the world. Sullivan says the real question driving his research is which of the Arctic rivers that support large numbers of fish are at greatest risk. So he and his colleagues have developed a statistical model to evaluate the risk. In the 1980s, the Department of Fish and Game did an inventory of Dolly Varden spawning watersheds in northwest Alaska. He used that inventory to decide where to make predictions of rusting risk.
Once we had a good model, we made the predictions for all 18 of these Dolly Varden spawning habitats, spawning watersheds, and basically ranked them in terms of their risk for rusting.
Centering on fish was important, Sullivan says. Tens of thousands of Dolly Varden, regionally referred to simply as trout, are harvested for subsistence in the area his team studied. And many of the same watersheds that support trout also support chum salmon, which are similarly important in the region. Sullivan says the model predicts where the acid seeps are likely to emerge as the climate warms. It factors in geology, permafrost, thermal conditions, and vegetation. It also looks at which rivers fish could migrate to for refuge. He says his modeling shows that some rivers already experiencing heavy impacts are expected to see fewer new seeps emerge in the future.
Like permafrost thaw is like a wave that's like moving north. And so the warmest watersheds that we looked at were like the Kivalina and the Woolock. Those are watersheds that are going to see reduced risk of new seeps emerging in 10 years.
Meanwhile, Sullivan says that colder watersheds farther north, like the Nimiuktuk and the Anisak rivers, are expected to see increased risk of new acid seeps in the future. Sullivan says he and his colleagues are learning new details all the time.
Every few weeks, I feel like we kind of like add a new nugget of information that we didn't have before.
Sullivan says once his team's findings are published, the model will be made public. He says it could be applied to watersheds anywhere permafrost is thawing, not just in Alaska. Reporting from Kotzebue, I'm Desiree Hagen.
And that'll be all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from Desiree Hagen in Kotzebue. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Have a terrific weekend. Thank you.
KDLL Board of Directors meets at 5:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at KDLL Studios in the Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District building in Kenai and over Zoom. Meetings are open to the public. If you have an item you'd like to submit for board consideration, email info@kdll.org. Or if you're interested in joining the board, call 907-513-1996.
Hey, hey there, Pickle People. This is Murphy with the Veritas Variety Review. Check out Veritas every Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m. We got a rotating cast of players to mix it up for you. Find it here on the only listener-supported public radio station for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL 91.9 FM.